your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Raider Podcast on this April 7th, 2020. Getting closer and closer, only a few weeks away from the NFL draft that is April 23rd through the 25th. And it seems like every single day there's more news on how the draft is actually going to be conducted. We know it's not going to be in Las Vegas. We know it's going to be basically done from some kind of headquarters, and it's going to be made for TV. And there's all kind of different scenarios that could take place as far as how teams are going to attack the NFL draft. And we'll talk about that on today's show. But it just seems like every single day it's a change, and every single day it's a new statement from the NFL and Roger Goodell and how they plan on attacking this thing. So we'll definitely talk about that on today's show. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and run down what we will have on today's show. Coming up in segment number three, your calls, your texts, your tweets, all off the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number you can send a text message in, or you can leave a voicemail message. Either way, it is all good. And then, of course, if you're going to tweet the show, just tweet directly at me, at your boy Q254, and we'll get that on the show as well. Got a handful of calls and texts to get to for sure in segment number three. Segment number two, the NFL, they released their all-decade team, and we're going to talk about the all-decade team in segment number two. Four Raiders are actually on the all-decade team. But when I look at it, and I know that every team does this, but when I look at it, I see four Raiders, four guys who played for the Raiders, four guys who rocked the silver and black, but I really only see two Raiders on this list for the all-decade team. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what I mean by that in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I want to give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. So off top, I talked about the NFL draft, and it has become official as of, well, at least as of April 6th. Roger Goodell and the NFL say that club personnel will have to be at separate locations away from the team facilities during the draft, April 23rd through the 25th. And at first, what I thought this meant, because what happened over the weekend and Adam Schefter talked about over the weekend, was the fact that maybe they can be at the facility, maybe they'll be at someone's house, maybe they'll do it offsite, but every team had to be basically on the same playing field. Well, all of a sudden on Monday, it came down from Roger Goodell that everyone had to be away from their facility, and they all had to be separate as well. So basically, every single person on your staff, so if you're the Raiders and you're talking about Mike Mayock, you're talking about John Gruden, you're talking about Paul Gunther, you're talking about Tom Cable, you're talking about Greg Olsen, all five of those guys have to be in five different locations. They can't just be, you know, huddled up at John Gruden's spot or Mike Mayock's spot. They all have to be separate. Matter of fact, the statement says from the league has advised teams to conduct the draft from outside of their facilities, but not only that, they said in a statement to conduct the draft virtually with club personnel in separate locations, but able to communicate by way of phone or internet. So that makes it official, man. Again, Mayock, Gruden, Gunther, Olsen, scouts, owner Mark Davis, it doesn't matter. They'll all be in their own homes or at least their own separate locations during the NFL draft. The statement goes on to say, "We have made this decision for several reasons. All clubs will not have access to their facilities, which is contrary to the fundamental equity principle that all clubs operate in a consistent and fair way. Moreover, we want all NFL personnel to comply with the government directives and to model safe and appropriate health practices. Our staff will carry out its responsibilities in the same way, operating in separate locations outside of our offices. And after consulting with medical advisors, we cannot identify an alternative that is preferable from a medical or public health perspective, given the varying needs of clubs. The need properly to screen participants and the unique risk factors that individual club employees may face." So, bottom line from Adam Schefter, NFL teams can't gather at one person's home, each person for him or herself during the draft. And again, this is not only just the teams, this is also the NFL. So Roger Goodell is going to be huddled up at one spot. People in the front office are going to be huddled up at one spot. And when I say front office, I mean the NFL front office. They're going to be at another spot, all different locations. So this is really going to be one of those, I hope that, and this sounds trivial, but I hope your internet works. Your internet works. I hope you're getting all these in a timely fashion. I mean, this is going to have to be one of those things that I think they're going to have to do a dress rehearsal multiple times just to make sure that they have this thing down. Now, usually NFL teams, they go through a mock draft NFL rehearsal every single year to make sure that, you know, when they're on the clock, they go through all multiple scenarios. If you remember correctly, Mike Mayock did it multiple times last year since that was his first actual NFL draft as a GM. He went through that multiple times. I think not only are the teams going to have to do that to make sure that they got this system down, but so is the NFL to make sure they have the system down. So I don't know if this is going to go off without a hitch or any kind of kinks, you know, but I'm expecting it's going to be a little bit more difficult than most people believe. But that is the ruling. That is what it is as of at least as of April 6, 2020. Now, today being April 7th, it may change. You know, there may be all of a sudden a new kind of ruling come down later on today. But as of right now, it looks like that's exactly what it's going to be. Every single person from your front office has to be somewhere else. Now, I don't know if, you know, teams will try to get creative and maybe have John Gruden upstairs on one computer and Mike Mayock downstairs on the other computer, but in the same house. I don't know. I don't know how the NFL would police that, but maybe that's a possibility. I feel like there's a lot of people away from each other when they're going to need a couple people at least as close as possible. But again, they're going to be trying to operate by way of telephone and internet. So it can get a little bit muddy, and it should be interesting. This is going to be an NFL draft that I think a lot of folks are going to remember for years to come just because there's a big asterisk next to it, and you really don't know what to expect. You know what I mean? And nobody is. As long as people have been covering the NFL, have never, ever covered an NFL draft like this one. So this is going to be one of those. I know years from now, I'll be able to tell someone, man, I remember when this draft happened in 2020. It was crazy like we've never seen before. At least that'll be something that, you know, I could share that story with someone, some new booty later on down the road. But this should be very, very interesting to see how it shakes out. But as of right now, every single person is required to be at their own separate location. Now, want to give you a couple of updates about a couple of Raider players doing some good in their own communities. Talking about Raider defensive backs Nevin Lawson, Trayvon Mullen, and running back Jalen Richard. Nevin Lawson and Trayvon Mullen, they've actually partnered with Chick-fil-A to provide over 250 meals for ER COVID-19 response teams in the four major hospitals of Broward County, those guys being from Florida: Coral Springs Medical, Northwest Medical Center, Florida Medical Center, and University Hospital. So again, similar to what I said about Mark Davis, how he was giving $1 million to Las Vegas to try to help out the community, these guys are giving back to their community as well and just trying to provide for the ones that are on the front line. We have some folks from on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line call in and say, hey, my wife or myself, we're both on the front line. They're looking out from those folks that are putting in all the work. So everyone loves some Chick-fil-A, right? Well, they're providing over 250 meals for ER COVID-19 response teams in four major hospitals of Broward County. Now, running back Jalen Richard, he's funding gas cards for volunteers who are delivering food to low-income families and children in the Louisiana community. Now, he's a guy from Louisiana, and that's a whole nother case because that's really being hit, man. Louisiana's being hit in a major, major way. That is like a hotbed for the COVID-19, and so Jalen Richard is looking out for the volunteers who's helping provide food for low-income families. So it really doesn't matter how you help out, how you volunteer, what you do to give back to your community, as long as you're doing something. If you're one of these guys who are in a position to do something and you do it, that's great. So big ups to Nevin Lawson, big ups to Trayvon Mullen, and big ups to Jalen Richard for just being a few of the guys that are putting in a lot of work in their own community. And I'm sure there's plenty more that just aren't being talked about at this point, but just kind of wanted to give them a little bit of light and give them a little bit of shine for doing that. And I think that that's really, really cool. Now, my final note here for segment number one on today's Locked On Raiders podcast, something I think every Raider fan is going to be excited about and something I think every NFL fan is going to be excited about, and that's the fact that the pass interference penalty is not expected to be reviewable in 2020. Pass interference review was a dumb decision. To be able to review that call was a dumb decision in the first place. That was an overreaction because New Orleans got screwed and the Rams ended up going to the Super Bowl and the Saints felt like that they should have been there. And look, it was a terrible call. It was a terrible no call, but Pass interference is a judgment call. You should not have the ability to be able to go back and review a judgment call. And I'm telling you, I don't care. I know that a couple of them went in the Raiders' favor during 2019, but a bunch of them went against the Raiders, including a Trayvon Mullen interception against the Chiefs in the end zone. He should have had an interception, his second one of the season, and instead that gets wiped away. And it was just silly that it got wiped away. So I, for one, am very, very glad that this is going to go away. Now, this has to be voted on at the end of May. It's not official that it's going to go away yet, but insiders like NFL Network's Judy Batista, she's saying that it's just about a done deal that it's going to go away. Most teams and owners do not like it. It's crazy, though. Just a year ago, it was approved by owners in a 31-1 vote. And then a year later, it's like, nope, we don't want to do that. You know, sometimes when you say you want something, then you realize that you don't want it back. You know, they say sometimes the grass ain't always greener on the other side. You know, stuff like that. When you try to make a change because you think it's going to be better and it really ain't going to be better. And you're like, man, that sucks. I'd like to go back to the way it was. That's basically what they're doing after reviewing these stupid pass interference penalties in 1 year and realizing how dumb that was. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to go away in 2020. And I, for one, am thrilled about that. So that's the news and notes I have for you for segment one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about the all-decade team. The NFL released it on Monday. Four Raiders made the team, but in my mind, two Raiders made the team. I'll talk about that next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this April 7th, 2020. Your boy Q here. And I know most of the time we've been talking about the NFL draft, but right now I'm going to turn my attention away from the NFL draft. Now, we'll catch up on that in segment number three with your calls and your text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Right now, I want to talk about the all-decade team. Kind of cool to look at. It's obviously real cool to make it, man. If you're in the league long enough to get onto the all-decade team, that is awesome. What a great tip of the cap, right? And so since it is 2020 now, obviously the all-decade team had to be released. Who made the all-decade team between 2010 and 2020? Well, it was released on Monday. And of course, and look, I'm not knocking the Raiders at all because every team does this, but the Raiders officially have four guys that made the all-decade team. But when I look at it, the Raiders had two guys that made the all-decade team. And one guy in particular that really went above and beyond and really killed the game. And he is actually a member of the all-decade team for the 2010s and all-decade team for the 2000s. So first of all, you know you've had a hell of a career when that happens. But yeah, I mean, that's just a great tip of the cap. And he's the only Raider to actually have done that. So I'll get to that in just a second. But first, let me run down the list of names of everyone who made the decade team, the all-decade team for the NFL in the 2010s. On offense, wide receiver Antonio Brown. And look, I'm not even talking about Antonio Brown. I'm not even, you know, talking about him because he never played a down for the Raiders. So he is not one of those that is officially a Raider on the all-decade team. So don't even think about him. But Antonio Brown made the all-decade team, obviously, by what he did with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Larry Fitzgerald, no doubt about it. Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, no doubt about it. And Julio Jones, who's still out there balling for the Falcons, no doubt about it. I have no problem with any of those four guys right there. But again, not talking about AB as a Raider. Tight end Rob Gronkowski. And then Travis Kelce. Those are the two tight ends that made the all-decade team. Have no problem with either one of those as well. Tackle, Jason Peters, Tyron Smith, Joe Staley, Joe Thomas, Peters with the Eagles, Tyron Smith with the Cowboys, Joe Staley with the 49ers, and Joe Thomas, the stud from the Cleveland Browns. I don't think there's any questions there about those four guys right there. Guards, Jahyre Evans, Logan Mankins, Zach Martin, and Marshall Yanda. Have no problem with those four either. All good with that. At the center position, Alex Mack, Marquise Pouncey. Who couldn't use a Pouncey on your team, right? Have no problem with either one of those. Quarterback, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I think there could be a little bit of debate for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Drew Brees should have been considered, but not mad at that. Whatever. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, fine. I'm cool. All right, here's where it gets a little squirrely. Running back, Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, and Adrian Peterson. Frank Gore, I think he's one of the most underrated and underappreciated guys in the league. He's a hell of a running back, been doing it for many, many, many moons. He's still in the league doing his thing. LeSean McCoy, at one point, Shady was one of the best running backs in the league. Adrian Peterson, he's still one of those guys that you just wonder how the hell he's still doing it. at his age and what he's been through as far as injuries, been out of the league for just about a whole year, and he just comes back and he just keeps killing the game. So Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, still playing at a very high level. LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, he's basically somewhat out. And Marshawn Lynch looks like he's been retired or is going to retire. He came back and played one year game last week. He came back and played one game last season for the Seattle Seahawks. But that's where I have my first issue, because the Raiders are marking Marshawn Lynch down as a Raider who officially made the All-Decade team. And I like Marshawn Lynch like the next man likes Marshawn Lynch. Matter of fact, got an autographed Raider jersey of Marshawn Lynch on my wall that's to the left of me as I sit here and record this podcast. But with that being said, I don't look at Marshawn Lynch as a Raider, because him making the All-Decade team, he made the All-Decade team as a Seattle Seahawk. He did not make it because of what he did with the Raiders. And I don't care who wants to argue with me. I get it. I understand. Like I said, all teams do this to make it look really cool. Just like in the Hall of Fame. Oh, there's so many players that made the Hall of Fame by this certain team. But who did they really make it by? Like Jerry Rice is in the Hall of Fame. Not what he did with the Raiders. Not what he did with the Broncos or even with the Seattle Seahawks. It's what he did with the 49ers. Joe Montana, he's in the Hall of Fame by what he did with the 49ers. Not by what he did with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I kind of like to distinguish that, but I know teams don't do that. Marshawn Lynch is not on the All-Decade team because what he did with the Raiders. Look, Marshawn Lynch played in 2017 and 2018 with the Raiders. 1,267 total yards, 10 total touchdowns in 21 games. He didn't make the All-Decade team by playing 21 games. 2017 was kind of cool. He had a nice fun season. In 2018, he only played a few games, and then he was out injury reserve with a groin injury, and then he never came back to the Raiders. And like I said, he played one game last season with Seattle in the playoffs. So he made the All-Decade team because what he was able to do with the Buffalo Bills for a quick second in 2010, and then the rest of the time what he was able to do with the Seattle Seahawks. He played four games in 2010 with the Buffalo Bills. Then he was traded on to Seattle. Then he went on to play 67 games in total with the Seattle Seahawks and got 6,545 yards. Obviously won a Super Bowl. He was a stud. I mean, went over 1,000 yards multiple times. Had a 1,500-yard season one season. I forget what year it was. But, I mean, he was an absolute monster, and Beast Mode was the dude when he was in Seattle. So, yeah, he made the All-Decade team on the Seattle Seahawks, not on the Raiders, but on the Seattle Seahawks. So I kind of look at that and say, well, he's not really, he's not really a Raider, or he didn't make the team because of the Raiders, but I know officially they're going to put that down as he made the team. Now flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan, Julius Peppers, and J.J. Watt, they made it for the defensive ends. Defensive tackle, Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, and Ndamukong Suh, they made it at the D tackle position. Great. That makes a lot of sense. Linebackers, Chandler Jones, Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Bobby Wagner, and Patrick Willis. Obviously, in the linebacker position, you have Khalil Mack there. He didn't make it as a Chicago Bear. He made it as an Oakland Raider. I mean, that's exactly what he did. His bread was buttered by being a Raider and being a stud, winning Defensive Player of the Year back in, 2016? I mean, he was the dude. And he got his contract. The contract he has now in Chicago, he has that based off of what he was able to do as an Oakland Raider. So that is a legit Raider that made the all-decade team for the 2010s. Khalil Mack, he was a really great pick when the Raiders were able to grab him the same year that they grabbed Derek Carr, but they didn't get Derek Carr in round one. They got Khalil Mack in round one. And again, he made the all-decade team based off of what he did with the Raiders. So that's one Raider, in my opinion, on the all-decade team. Now you go on to the cornerback position. Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman. Cool. Safety position, Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, and Eric Weddle. Fine, have no problem with none of that either. Also, defensive back, Chris Harris, and the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. Obviously, it has nothing to do with the Raiders, but that's just the guys at the cornerback and the safety position. Now you move on to special teams. Johnny Hecker and Shane Leckler. Shane Leckler is the guy. Shane Leckler is the dude. This guy has made the all-decade team, not only for the 2010s, but the 2000s as well. And he obviously went on to the Houston Texans and had a nice career there, but Shane Leckler did the damn thing for decades in the NFL, and again, he is what an Oakland Raider is. I mean, this dude was drafted by the Raiders, played many, many moons, played many, many games, played very meaningful games for the Raiders, and really established himself as what I believe is going to be a Hall of Famer. He had a Hall of Fame career by what he did with the Raiders. Now, he went on to Houston and did well there as well, but I mean, again, he buttered his bread by what he did with the Raiders. So those are the two guys right there I'm looking at, Khalil Mack and Shane Leckler. Those are two Raiders. Those are two guys that should be on the OaklandRaiders.com right now, or Raiders.com right now, excuse me, with saying that they made the all-decade team for the Raiders. Then go on to kicker, Steven Gostkowski from the Patriots, and then Justin Tucker from the Baltimore Ravens. They make it. Okay, cool. Punt returner, Tyreek Hill, Darren Sproles. I have no problem with either one of those. Kick returner, Devin Hester and Cordarrelle Patterson. And yes, Raider Nation, the Raiders are saying that Cordarrelle Patterson made the All-Decade team and he was a Raider. He played one season, 16 games with the Raiders, and that was it. John Gruden, when he took over, he moved him right out of there. He went on to New England. He won a ring in New England, went on to Chicago. And I don't even know what team he's on this year. I can't remember, but I think it's back in Chicago, isn't it? I don't remember. Either way, I don't consider Cordarrelle Patterson a Raider. Again, he played one season with the team, played 16 games. Let me tell you what he did as far as kick returns. 19 kick returns total for the year, 538 yards, no touchdowns. That was in 2017. 31 catches as a wide receiver, 309 yards, no touchdowns. Again, this is all in 2017 because he never played another season with the Raiders. He had 13 rushes, 13 carries for 121 yards and two TDs, and one carry was 47 yards. So almost half of his yards rushing came on one play, which went 47 yards and was a touchdown to the house. So he didn't do a whole lot. I mean, really, all-purpose yards, he barely went over 1,000 all-purpose yards with the Raiders in 2017. So him making the All-Decade team is definitely, in my opinion, 100% not based off what he did with the Raiders, but based off of really what he did with the Minnesota Vikings. He really made his name with Minnesota. So that's a Minnesota Viking, in my opinion, that made the All-Decade team, not a Raider. But again, like I said, I'm not talking bad about the Raiders because I know every team does this, and they're trying to – it's like padding your stats. You know what I mean? It's like scoring touchdowns in the fourth quarter when it doesn't matter. Or, you know, a scrub that comes in off the bench in the NBA and they just hit a couple three-pointers at the end of the game because they want to get their name in the stat book. That's basically what the Raiders are doing when they put Marshawn Lynch and they put Cordarrelle Patterson on the All-Decade team as Raiders. Because, again, they did not butter their bread by way of the Raiders. They spent some time. They spent a quick minute with the Raiders. You know, they had a cup of coffee with the Raiders, but that was it. I don't even think Cordarrelle Patterson finished his cup of coffee. Marshawn, he kind of finished his cup of coffee, but Patterson, nah, he didn't even finish his cup of coffee. So those are the four guys, the four Raiders that made the All-Decade team. But like I said, in my opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong or you could tell me why I'm wrong. 707-654-4693, that's the number. Or you could tweet at me at your boy Q254. Marshawn Lynch, Khalil Mack, Shane Leckler, and Cordarrelle Patterson. In my opinion, the only two guys that really made the All-Decade team for the Raiders are Khalil Mack and Shane Leckler. But again, feel free to correct me if you feel like I'm wrong. It is all good. I don't mind. Again, 707-654-4693 or at your boy Q254 on Twitter. Speaking of that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, that's coming up next. Your calls, your texts, your thoughts, what's on your mind, holler at your boy and let me know. Segment number three, it's on the way here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls, your texts. I would do some tweets, but I don't have any tweets today. But I do have your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. Again, put it in your phone. Lock it in. 707-654-4693. Going to start things off with a call from T3 Raider Facts. Calling in with his five quick hits of the day. He's talking Jordan Love, worst and best pick over the past decade, Kenneth Murray at number 19, Impact at 19, and also throws in a couple birthdays. Here he is, T3 Raider Facts. Five quick hits of the day.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits of the day. Number one, some mock draft experts have been throwing Jordan Love the Raiders' way. Well, I want to read you a scouting breakdown on Jordan Love that I found courtesy of Lindy's Draft 2020. And I quote, Love possesses enough natural tools to warrant development and middle round consideration. His statistics have been inflated by crafty play calling and scheme, as well as questionable competition. While he comes with plenty of hype as a potential first rounder, do not be surprised when NFL teams fail to show the same amount of love for this quarterback as the media. This really caught my eye. Number two, Q, I thought you might find this interesting. I found a draft scouting source has been evaluating pick values for every team over the past 10 years, and they evaluated the best and worst picks for each team over the past decade in terms of both value and impact. The Raiders' best pick was Max Crosby. Hard to argue with that. And the worst pick, are you ready for this, Q? Obi Melifonwu, second round 2017. Yes, the return of Bigfoot. Number three, here's why I still think Kenneth Murray is the pick at number 19. The Raiders already picked up two good linebackers in free agency, but they need three. Even if he doesn't start, you can bring him in as a blitzer, but if one of the two new linebackers goes down to injury, we're right back where we started from. So go linebacker. Go with K-Dog. Number four, Mayock has already said that the number 19 pick is up for negotiation. So if you make the pick, you need to make sure it's someone who can make an impact in 2020. In my opinion, that would be either Kenneth Murray or a corner, a physical corner. And I emphasize the word physical. Number five, happy birthday. Today I've got two of them. First, got to wish a happy birthday to Rod Martin. Phenomenal performance in Super Bowl 15 with three interceptions. Could have easily won MVP, but that went to Jim Pluckett, who should be in the Hall of Fame, but don't get me started. The second birthday was actor James Garner. Why, you ask? Well, when the Raiders were in L.A., he used to be a regular hanging out on the sidelines. In fact, sometimes he would sit next to and chat with Lyle Alzado. There's your bit of Raider trivia for the day. Stay safe, Raider Nation. Enjoy lots of great Raiders content. If you want to catch up on the history of the Raiders, check out the T3 Raider Roots podcast. And just remember, passion always outlives fashion.
T3, thank you for the call, my man. Definitely appreciate that. And I'm like you, man. I'm not really buying a lot of the Jordan Love hype. I know it's there, but I'm not really buying it. I get it. But again, in my opinion, he's not the next Patrick Mahomes. He's just another guy. But everyone's going to try to find that next dude, right? Max Crosby, we all know he's a very exceptional player. I'm hoping to get him back on the podcast really, really soon. I've reached out to him. I haven't heard back. But, I mean, hey, it's all good. So hopefully he does hit me back. You're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take. So I went ahead and shot that shot and tried to get him back on the podcast. So hopefully that happens sooner rather than later. But either way, it's all good. Max is a good dude and a hell of a player. Obi Melanfonwu, a.k.a. Bigfoot, don't get me started. I don't even want to get started on that dude. Kenneth Murray, I've said it multiple times. I definitely believe he could be in play at 19. I believe he could be in play at number 12 if the Raiders really want to, based off what they did last year. Something else I've said multiple times, but he's just a dude, man. He's just a dude that the Raiders, I really believe, like Mike Mayock, John Gruden, I'm sure Paul Gunther. And, yeah, they addressed it in they addressed the linebacking position in free agency. But if you're just going to try to stock your cupboards up with great and really, really good football players, I wouldn't be mad if they went ahead and made the move for him. I would understand it, and I wouldn't be upset. And I do think he's an impact player, like you were talking about as well. You got to have impact players at number 19 if that's where you're going to pick. I do think that Kenneth Murray could be an impact player. I just also realize that there's other needs and there's other areas that you can go and address now that you've gotten a couple free agent linebackers. But again, it's whatever they're feeling, whatever flavor they're feeling. And I do think number 19 is going to become the biggest mystery until we see what happens on April 23rd. And definitely want to shout out those birthdays. That's all cool. So thank you so much for that call. Next up is a text from Don Juan in the 303. Hey Q, this is Don Juan from the 303. Do you feel like Ruggs could be a true number one? I was all on board with him, but I'm curious how he would have done without Judy. Again, that's from Don Juan in the 303. Don't ask me why I keep saying your name like that, but it's just, you know, it sounds cool to me. So anyway, I'm going to do it. And I'll tell you, man, and this is going to be so funny. As much as I've been talking about CeeDee Lamb as the number one wide receiver, and that's who I picked in my Locked On mock draft, I put him in. CeeDee Lamb, Oklahoma, no doubt about it. I don't like that I keep second guessing myself, because I think that all three of those wide receivers are really, really good. They all have qualities that stand out that are way better than the next guy. Obviously Ruggs with the speed, Jerry Jeudy with the route running, and then CeeDee Lamb just with the strength and hands and the way that he could just take it to the house or get to the house. You know, he's got that want to get there. He's one of those guys. I feel like I mentioned before, he's an alpha dog at that wide receiver position. But you know, I talked about Ruggs, and I said if he's going to be your number one, you got to use him right. Now, if I knew for 100% fact that John Gruden would use Ruggs to the best of his ability and get him the ball early and get him the ball often, send him deep, you know, have Derek Carr let it rip all the time. If I knew that he was going to use him to every ounce of his ability, I would say Henry Ruggs is the number one guy. I just don't know in John Gruden's offense if Henry Ruggs is the number one guy, if that makes a lot of sense, if that makes any sense at all. So that's kind of where my stance is. But, man, the more I watch Henry Ruggs and I go back and watch some of the games that Alabama was in and what he could do with the ball in his hand, and then I'm watching Path to the Draft on NFL Network and I'm seeing what they're saying about him, I'm thinking, man, I'm starting to itch. You know what I mean? Almost like a damn crackhead. Start itching. It's like, man, I sure would like that speed. How much for that speed? Oh, too much, too much. But anyway, I just I'm telling you, man, speed kills and you can't teach it. So, I mean, it's one of those things. My inner Al Davis starts to come out in me, but I try to keep it in there, you know, trapped inside. So, yeah, I think he could be a true number one wide receiver, but you have to dedicate yourself to using him to the best of your ability and the best of his ability, if that makes sense. Thank you for that text, my man. I appreciate you. Next up is a call. Jordan from Oregon calling in to talk about a few things, including living in America as it pertains to the coronavirus pandemic, and then a few guys he wants people to keep their eyes on in the upcoming draft. Here he is, Jordan from Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? This is Jordan in Oregon calling in here on Monday. I got done listening to your podcast, Monday's edition. Loved it as always. Just wanted to say something this morning. Feeling pretty optimistic about this whole coronavirus and just feeling real lucky to live in America, man. We live in the best country in the world, and we're going to kick this thing's ass just like we've kicked everything else's ass. And so, yeah, feeling real lucky to be an American and to be where we're at. I mean, we live in the best country in the world. And, hey, on a football note, I got five guys I wanted to kind of mention. I wanted to mention them because I could see the Raiders maybe kind of targeting a few of these guys, and just some guys that bring some intrigue to the table, that they're not all first-round talent, but just some guys that I've been keeping an eye on. First one, James Morgan, the quarterback out of Florida International. He looks the part, big, strong-arm guy. If you've got some time, watch his tape. I mean, the guy can launch it. The second one is Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin, running back. He's got a lot of mileage on him, but he'd be a great complimentary back to Jacob. Probably going to be a day two pick, people are saying, but he looks the part. He's definitely got some mileage on him, though, but I think he'd be a great compliment to Jacobs. Another running back been kind of keeping an eye on and reading about lately, getting some hype, is Joshua Kelly out of UCLA. He's a big boy, big bruiser, real strong kid. He would be actually kind of a real great compliment. I know I keep saying that word, but he'd be more what people would be looking at with like a 1-2 kind of system, with the Jacobs being our number one back with the elusiveness, and a guy like Joshua Kelly would be like a big boy Michael Bush, former Raider type build. Doesn't have a ton of speed, but also doesn't have as much mileage on him. I think he looks the part for sure. He'd burl. Another couple guys on the defensive side I've been looking at is Troy Dye, obviously out of Oregon. I'm always looking at these Oregon guys a little more than the rest, but this guy can play. He's fast. He's sideline to sideline type of linebacker. Probably needs to put on some size, but yeah, he's definitely got the resume to prove his play worthwhile. And then the last one is Evan Weaver, Cal linebacker. I've heard people shout this guy out before. I've been digging into him, and man, he looks like somebody could be a real steal in this draft. But he's a big kid as well, linebacker out of Cal. If you got some time, check it out, Raider Nation. Have a great week. Peace out.
Jordan from Oregon with the call right there. Appreciate that. You mentioned a few guys. James Morgan, Florida International quarterback. Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin. Josh Kelly, running back from UCLA. Troy Dye, linebacker from Oregon. And Evan Weaver, Cal linebacker. Now, a couple running backs real quick. Jonathan Taylor, looks like he might end up being maybe a second-round selection, maybe early third. I think second round would be too high. Obviously, the Raiders don't have a second round, but I could see them addressing that running back position in the third. Josh Kelly, he looks like a much lower round back as far as I'm concerned, maybe a fifth round guy. That's probably his earliest would go in the fifth. James Morgan, the quarterback, I think he's a big time project, probably a sixth or a seventh round guy. But I mean, if you're up for the project, then maybe it's the guy that you have your eye on. I know a lot of teams really have been talking about him, or he's been at least he's been, you know, penciled in with a lot of different teams. So it's just something to look at. Weaver, in my opinion, another late round option. He's a tackling machine, but I feel he's a liability in coverage. I think he's a fifth or sixth round guy. He's one of those guys that, similar to what Tahir Whitehead, he made a lot of tackles, but a lot of times, a lot of the tackles, he's coming up and making the play from behind. He's catching up to the play instead of being the enforcer on the play. So I think that Weaver is going to be a late round guy, but I have seen him a lot. His name mentioned a lot because he is a tackling machine. Now, I say Troy Dye for last because I do believe he could be a real deal option in the third round. I really do think if the Raiders decide to pass on Kenneth Murray, if they decide to pass on Patrick Queen, and I think Patrick Queen's kind of out of the category already, I think the only early round linebacker would be Kenneth Murray. If they decide to pass on Murray, I definitely think that they have Troy Dye in their thoughts. I mean, he's a guy that can get it done and probably be a third-round option, and they have three picks. Right now, they have three picks in the third round, and I think that might be a really good pickup to add him with Corey Littleton, add him with Nick Kwiatkowski, and then all of a sudden you add Troy Dye. I think you've made that linebacking room a whole lot better. So that's just my thoughts on those guys that you mentioned. Thank you so much for that call. Next up is a text. Hey, Q, this is Tysta from the 360. Loving all the mock draft talk this time around. The unknown of speculation has its highs and lows every year and allows my optimism to ride high. Perfect record in the offseason, baby. Anyway, my two cents is with keeping Murray in there at 19 or depending on any must grabs, finding a trade partner to trade back. I don't personally love Fulton or Henderson, so anyone else at 19 is a bit of a stretch, in my opinion, for cornerbacks. A lot of good ones between round 2 and 3, though. And we don't know what we have yet in Isaiah Johnson, but he has potential of being the guy if he could be available. Looking at the future state, there is still a lot of value in finding a good linebacker in this draft. Someone to learn and take over the group when Nick and Littleton's contracts are done. We got time to find a real one, and that time starts this year. If we trade it back, I'm a big fan of Troy Dye out of Oregon. Also, can't help but notice the versatility and utility of some of the free agent pickups. Heath lined up at linebacker some with Dallas. Randall played cornerback and safety. Obvious Joyner playing safety and slot. Makes me think McKinney if we go safety and allow some pretty good competition. And all of a sudden, pretty full safety room. Gunther does love his hybrids. Much love, Q. Stay safe. Out. Again, that's from Tysta in the 360. Real quick, I think Kenneth Murray is definitely still in play. Mentioned that a couple times. I just think because he's a dude that the Raiders really, really like him. I think that Gunther, I think Gruden, I think Mayock all probably like that guy. I can absolutely see getting Troy Dye, the linebacker, maybe a little bit later, like I just mentioned in maybe round 3, picking him up. If he lasts that long, go ahead and pick him up in round 3. I think you've really made that linebacking room really, really grow. Xavier McKinney, I like him as a safety, so if they were to pick him up, he is very versatile. I would definitely like that. And yeah, there's a lot of versatility on the field, and I think it kind of goes back to get the best 11 players on the field. Don't really worry about their position, and I think that's why a guy like Isaiah Simmons is going to go really, really high in this draft, because he has the versatility to play about 9 different positions. So that's kind of what the league is trending to, is more hybrids at every position than just a guy who is a this is a definite linebacker, or this is a definite safety, or this guy has to play corner. More versatility. The more versatile you are, the better. It gets you on the field more, gets you on the field earlier, and makes you stay on there a little bit longer. So thank you for that text. Definitely appreciate you. Next up, I got a call from my guy TK from Southern Cali calling about Trent Brown, if he has any suspension coming, and also questions of depth behind him. TK from Southern Cali.
What up, Q? It's your boy TK from Southern Cali, just calling in late Sunday night. I only got one question for you today. Haven't really talking that much about the tackle positions on the offensive line. I mean, I know we're set with Miller and Trent Brown on the right side. However, remember last year there were the domestic violence accusations against Trent Brown. I was wondering if there's any more information on that, if there's potentially a suspension coming, if there's any news about that whatsoever. And I'm not so sold on the depth that we have behind Miller and Trent Brown, and if that's something that the Raiders look to address late in the draft by any means. If I'm not mistaken, you know, we're pretty set at guard. We got Denzel Good, we got Eric Kush, but as far as the tackles go, if I'm not mistaken, the depth behind Miller and Trent Brown is David Sharp, who did okay filling in for Brown last year, and then Brandon Parker. And we all know how Brandon Parker's played so far in the league. Just wanted your thoughts on the left and right tackle depth position for the upcoming season. All right, Q. Raider Nation, peace out.
Really good call, my man. It's always good to hear from you. And look, I have not heard anything about Trent Brown. Him and his people said it was inaccurate information and it would be proven later. And that was when everything first broke out with the whole domestic violence thing. I haven't heard anything since. So right now, no information or no thought and no talk is good talk as far as I'm concerned. And as far as the depth goes behind Miller and Brown, you're right. It's not good, in my opinion. And most likely, the Raiders will take a shot on a late-round guy. As a matter of fact, if I have one late-round guy, if I have my eye on one offensive tackle who could be very versatile, which is what Tom Cable and that offensive line needs, is a bunch of versatile guys, I would think that they make the move for Clemson tackle Tremaine Ankrum Jr., 6'2", 350-pound offensive lineman. He's had conversations, at least according to him, with the Cardinals, the Chargers, the Saints, the Browns, the Giants. Those are the ones he said really stood out. Now, I'm sure he's talked to a bunch of other teams, but he's got the size. He's got flexibility. He could play left and right tackle. He could also play the guard positions, and he said that that's what a lot of the teams like about him. He said, some teams say I could start at left guard for him. I could back up at tackle if needed. Some other teams say you would be a fantastic center because of your ability to think and problem solve, your movement and things like that. He's had a lot of good conversations with teams that say, hey, you can play tackle for us today. So honestly, when you're looking for versatile guys and the offensive line is no different, I think that that would be a guy that you could look at and think that the Raiders may be in play for him in the later round. And again, we all know how much Mike Mayock and company love their Clemson dudes. So if you're going to look for a guy, an offensive tackle that you may see the Raiders go after later in the draft, Tremaine Ankrum Jr. Just got a couple more for you real quick. Next up is a text from Big Art from Manteca, 707-654-4693. That's the number. He says, what's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? It's Big Art from Manteca. First time sending a text to the podcast, so technically I'm a new booty. Just wanted to get your thoughts on rounds 1-4 mock draft. I did it this morning. I did do some trading. Well, I did a lot of trading, actually, but I think overall this is a pretty solid draft class, or I could be horribly wrong like I usually am. Be brutally honest with me and let me know what you think. Hope everyone is staying safe and staying indoors. God bless and peace out. That's from Big Art. So Big Art's draft, mock draft, rounds 1-4 goes like this. And really, I mean, when I look at it, and he's talking about rounds 1-4. You got a lot of picks for rounds 1-4, my man, but I'm going to go through it anyway. That's what I'll tell you first and foremost before I even look at the draft. I mean, you got 9 guys in the first 4 rounds. That's a lot of picks. But, hey, maybe with the moving and shaking that you did, maybe it'll shake itself out. But here we go. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama at number 12. Kenneth Murray, linebacker from Oklahoma at number 20. So you move back one spot. Jeudy and Kenneth Murray in round 1, fine. Really good. I think those are really good picks, and I've been saying multiple times Kenneth Murray is definitely in play, in my opinion, in the first round for the Raiders. Jalen Johnson, defensive back from Utah, number 42. He's a guy that's been coming up the charts. A lot of people talking about him. He may be one of those studs that are kind of the hidden gem as of right now. So Jalen Johnson, defensive back from Utah, 42, good pick. Jeremy Chinn, safety from Southern Illinois at 73. I like that. You know I like that because I like Jeremy Chinn a lot. I think he's a guy that would be really, really good in the back end of that Raider defense along with Jonathan Abram. Chase Claypool, wide receiver from Notre Dame at 80. So that's the second wide receiver that the Raiders come away with, and Claypool is an absolute stud. You're going to get really good wide receiver talent later in the draft because there's so many stinking good wide receivers in this draft. So coming away with Jerry Jeudy and Chase Claypool in the same draft, really, really good. Then, boom, 81, you're back on the clock. A.J. Dillon, running back from Boston College. Totally like that. That's a really good pick. Good compliment to Josh Jacobs. Then, you go with, at number 91, A.J. Green, defensive back from Oklahoma State. I like that as well. I think he's a heck of a player. That's a guy that if he's there at number 91 and the Raiders go and make a move like that, cool. That'll work. Next up is Kenny Wilekes, defensive end from Michigan State at 121. It's a dude that can get after the quarterback. Not mad at that, just adding some depth to the defensive line. And then Antonio Gandy-Golden, wide receiver from Liberty at 140. Not a lot of times that you hear wide receivers from Liberty in the draft, but he is one guy who stands out in a major, major way. So all in all, if you look at these 9 guys that you have 3 wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Chase Claypool, and Antonio Gandy-Golden. Somebody ain't making the team. I mean, that's a hell of a draft, but I'll tell you right now, there's no way that you're probably going into 2020 with 9 guys that you just drafted. Now, of course, some guys could go on the practice squad, I get that, but that's a lot of talent, and I think somebody is going to snatch those guys up. You're not going to be able to have all 9 of them on your squad, but man, that would be a hell of a draft if you were able to come away with that. But again, like you said, you did a lot of moving and shaking, and you could be onto something really good. You could be cooking with grease, like I like to say, or you could be horribly wrong, but you come away with Jerry Jeudy, Kenneth Murray, Jalen Johnson, Jeremy Chinn, and Chase Claypool just in the first 5 picks. I don't even care what you do after that. And A.J. Dillon at number 6? Oh, man, you're, like I said, absolutely cooking with grease. I'm not sure if the draft would be able to shake out like that, but that would be a hell of a pick. A.J. Green, Kenny Wilekes, and Antonio Gandy-Golden. It'd be hard to keep all those guys around, but that's a lot of talent that you pick up. So Really good mock draft right there. Again, you just never know how things are going to shake out, but it's always fun to kind of, you know, dip your toes in the GM waters and try to go ahead and do your own thing, right? Final call of the show is from Raider Alex from Berkeley, California. He's a youngster calling in with a suggestion on who the Raiders should grab some point in the draft. I like this call. It's a short but sweet one from Raider Alex from Berkeley, California. Oh, by the way, he's a new booty, and he's a young dude. Here he is.
Yeah, so cute. This is Raider Alex from Berkeley, California. I think the Raiders should go grab Troy Dye out of Oregon. Great interception. Really cool. Him and Herbert, the stars of the team. But also Penei Sewell is really underrated. So yeah.
Great call, Alex. Great call from Berkeley, California, representing my best friend back in the day, Erica. She went to Berkeley, and real quick story, and I'm not going to tell you to do this, Raider Alex, because I know you're a young dude, but I used to just go there and visit the campus every once in a while with a hoodie on and shorts that said I was from Cal Berkeley, just so I could try to talk to girls, try to pick up on girls back in the day. I'm not telling you to do that, but that's what I used to do. I used to try to act like I was a smart dude when we all knew damn well that I was not a smart dude. But it was fun to walk around the campus and pretend anyway. But anyway, getting back to your call, Dye has been getting a lot of love. I mean, really, he's been getting a lot of love, especially even on today's show. So I think he could be a player that is definitely in play for the Raiders, possibly in the third round if he's still around there. As far as Sewell goes, I think he's only a sophomore. And I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I do believe he's only a sophomore, and he can't come out till next year. I don't think he redshirted his freshman year, unless I missed it. So maybe Jordan from Oregon or someone else who's more well-versed with the Ducks, you can let me know if I'm wrong, but I don't think he's eligible for the draft this year. You got to be 3 years removed from high school. But again, if I'm wrong, please let me know. I think that he'll be a guy that we'll be talking about in the draft coming up next year. So thank you so much for that, man. I appreciate the call. And even though you're a youngster, man, keep on calling, man, as long as it's okay with your folks, right? 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You can send a text message or you can leave a voicemail. Either way you go, it is all good. So that's going to do it for today's show. I apologize the way that I ended yesterday's show. I started doing something at the house and forgot to kind of close out the show, but I mean, it's all good. I'm glad I was really done with what I had to say, but I just realized later after someone hit me up and was like, man, Q, you forgot to close out the show, and I really did. But either way, man, I appreciate all the calls, texts, tweets. I appreciate all the support of the Locked On Raiders podcast. That's going to do it for today. Now you can go ahead and tell your smart device you can play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Football. You want to get into some fantasy football conversation? You could do that. And so until Wednesday's episode, we'll do it again. As always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.